Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, we are going through the Gospel of Luke, and we are in chapter 2, where we have the birth of Jesus. And this is the birth of Jesus account that's rather well known. People know this one more than the other ones, and it's lengthy. Luke was a physician who traveled with the Apostle Paul. He researched all of this so he could give us an accurate account of what was going on. And he likes the details, and you'll see that he gives us the details as though maybe a physician would give the details. So we start in chapter 2 in verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. In the days of Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Wow, that's quite the census, the entire Roman world. Rome had been pushing out and conquering all over the place, and now he wants a census of every single person in the Roman Empire. And this was the first census that was taken while Quirinius was governor in Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. Now, because Luke likes the detail and he thinks that details are important, he's actually giving us a very specific time of when this happened. It happened when Caesar Augustus was ruling. It happened during the first census, so there was another census. It happened while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So he gives us these time frames so that we can know exactly when this happened. So Caesar Augustus wants everyone to go and register in their hometowns. Why does he want them to register? He wants them to register so he can tax them, so that he knows where everybody is and who they are, so he can tax them. So verse 4 says, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. So here's the introduction to Joseph, the adopted father of Jesus. Joseph is not the earthly father, but he adopted Jesus into the family. He ends up marrying Mary. And he was of the family line of David. King David was their favorite king. And it was through King David that God had promised that a Messiah would come through that family tree. King David was the king, gets passed down through the family. God had promised through David's family there would be a king that would sit on the throne of Israel forever, forever. And so Jesus is going to be that forever king that comes from the line of David. So Joseph goes up there to Bethlehem, which is the house of bread. That's important that Jesus is born in the house of bread. Whenever you see a Beth in a word, B-E-T-H, it's the Hebrew, it means house, Bethlehem, and so it's the house of bread. Verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him in expecting a child. Now, they weren't yet married. They had different phases of the way that marriage worked in their culture. What you would do is you would betroth someone, pledge to marry them. And when you pledge to marry them, it's just as though you did marry them. It's just that you haven't gone through the ceremony yet. And the ceremony usually was something you would do in the community, and the community would participate in your marriage and sort of recognize the marriage of these two people in the community. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting a child. So that's going to end up in the life of Jesus be at least a little bit scandalous, that Mary was carrying this baby before she was married to Joseph. Now, of course, what we know about this baby is we know that this child was from the Holy Spirit, that Mary did not have human relations in order to have a child. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Virgin Mary had the child. And so verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Now, Mary's going to have other children over the course of her lifetime, have them with Joseph. But Jesus is the firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is quite known by people that Jesus goes to Bethlehem, and there's no place for them to be born. And, you know, we make a lot of fantasy even around that, fiction of, you know, what that was like and what happened there. Well, you can imagine that there would be no room. It's not a city that's going to have hotels. There are really no hotels. There are inns sometimes, but no hotels as we would know them. No hotels. So, and everybody's on the road. Everybody's going back to their hometown to register for the taxes. And because everybody's going back to their hometowns, there's just probably no place to stay. These homes in the ancient Middle East were not large homes to begin with. And so if everybody is traveling, you can imagine that in some of these homes, there's probably many people. Relatives are coming in, and people, maybe you haven't seen them in decades, and now they're coming in, they need some place to stay. Well, there's no place really for them to stay in town. And it could be that, you know, Joseph has been gone long enough, maybe he doesn't even still know a lot of people there. We don't know that, but just trying to figure out what's going on. So near Bethlehem, near the city of bread, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping their watch of their flocks at night. Why were they at night? Well, because shepherds work all night long. They work 24/7. They work under the stars. They work outside. They try to find pastures where these sheep can eat. And so they're out there all night long, these shepherds. And while they're there in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terrified. Now, I find this fascinating that these shepherds that are used to living outside, living underneath the stars, that they're terrified. Because they've probably seen everything. Don't you think if they're out there 24/7, they're out there when it's dark, they're out there all night long, they've probably seen wild beasts, they've probably heard strange sounds, they've probably seen people walking in the area, you know, what are those people doing, you know, walking through here at 3:30 in the morning. They've probably seen it all, and yet they're terrified. So they're not the kind of people that, in my mind, you would think would get terrified easily. But the angel, they're afraid of the angel. And often when angels appear in the scripture to people, and they do, angels are real, angels appear to people, people are very often terrified. And the angels always say, no, don't be afraid. Why do they say don't be afraid? Because they're afraid. But the angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Well, there's going to be some good news. What's the good news? The good news is that a Savior is going to be born in the city of David, in the city of bread, and it's going to be joy for all people. Now, these ancient Jewish people had the ancient scriptures that had spoke about Jesus coming, the Old Testament, Jesus is coming. And they thought maybe that the Messiah was just for the Hebrew community, just for the Jewish people. But Jesus comes for all people. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him wouldn't perish, but would have eternal life. So God loves all people. There's an old Sunday school song that says, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves everybody. Room for everyone. And so this birth will bring joy for all people. Today in the town of David, saying this to the shepherds, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's the Savior and he's the Lord. He's the Creator. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, now, in a lot of the Christmas accounts, the angels are singing, but here it just says they're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So for those of us who come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, there's a peace that comes to us. His favor is resting upon us. And when the angels had gone and left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go see it for ourselves. So although the angels told them, they're going to go see it for themselves. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just like it had been said. And when they had seen him, they spread word concerning what they had been told about this child. So they become evangelists. They start telling the story of the Savior who's born in the city of David. And all who heard it were amazed by what the shepherds said. It's an amazing story. But Mary, now this is going to happen all through the Gospel of Luke, all through the Gospel. Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart because she doesn't really understand exactly what's going on either. And so she's holding on to these things and keeping them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus. And the angel of the Lord had given him that name before he was conceived. Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, the Lord saves. Next, we get into Jesus being presented in the temple. They were supposed to take the child and the firstborn child and present them in a temple. There was a certain offering they were supposed to give. As you read through this one, they gave the poor person's offering. So Jesus was born into a poor family. He could have been born into a rich family, but he was born into a poor family. He came to live and to dwell among us, and he's born into a poor family. They give a poor family sacrifice. And then there's one more account. This is the last account, and we can't read it all together. We'll run out of time here, but you can read it starting in verse 41. This is the only real account we have of Jesus as a child. And they were traveling to Jerusalem. They were traveling in groups, and Jesus got left behind. There's reasons for that. It's sort of simple explanation. I don't have the time to really explain it. They went looking for him, and they find him in the temple. And there he is interacting with the rabbis, interacting with the teachers. Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house?" And then in verse 51, it says that they went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all of these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So that's all we really have about the childhood of Jesus. So we'll be in Luke 3 next, but this is a great gospel. Read the parts that we left out. We touched on what they mean and what happened in there, the context of it. So Jesus loves you. Peace, peace, peace. Grace, grace, grace. Find us wherever you find us. Find us on YouTube. Find us on Spotify. Find us BibleandDailyLife.com. Find us on Facebook. Find us where most podcasts are. Lots of places to find us. Hey, bless you guys.